Good morning. Okay. So today we are going to do one more value from from our church, and that is diversity. Last week, what was it? Anybody remembers Uncle Stephen's message? Unity. Today I'm going to divide you all. I'm going to speak about diversity. Okay. So because it's such a topic which is very easily understood. Okay, let's understand. See, in offices, corporates, or schools, you see a lot of diverse people. Especially in Mumbai nowadays, a lot of people are coming in from various places, right? With different personalities, with different kinds of temperaments, with different kinds of, you know, some people come from the north, some people come from the south, some people. So, we understand each other's cultures, their background they come from, some may be economically well-to-do, some may be economically okay, but we all learn to live together, work together, right? We learn to be together. So before we actually begin, okay, with this diversity, let's practice it, okay? So what you have to do is, today in the sermon is, you have to go to somebody in the congregation or turn to somebody whom you have not met, like you don't know that person very well, and I'll give you like a minute, okay, to discuss with the person these four questions. Okay, you should ask them which is their hometown, not necessarily because everybody's come from different places. It is not Panvel, of course. Their hometown is not Panvel; it is somewhere else. So you should ask them what is their hometown, which place they belong to. When did they come to Panvel? If they are not from Panvel, there might be people who are a native of Panvel, but I don't think anybody in this church is. Okay, so when did they come to Panvel? Where do they live currently? Do they live in Balaji, or do they live in the row house, or do they live in Kamothe, Khanda Colony? Where do you live? Okay, and how did they know about this church? Easy. So come on, at the count of three, you need to go to one person and get yourself acquainted with these four. I will give the mic to anybody, so you can't cheat. Huh? So you have to ask these four questions. Come on, move. Everybody has to move. Those who are not, come to you. Okay, so much we spoke, isn't it? We got to know each other. So, I hope you came to know a little more about people, right? A little more. So, who will take the challenge up? Who can tell all four questions, answer all these four? Okay, yes, Anand, come on. Google. Great. Give a hand to Anand. Very good, Anand. Okay. Another person. Take up this challenge. Come on. Who wants to tell about their partner? Great, good, thank you. So now you came to one lives in where sector 5, no? Sector 5, one lives in Khanda Colony, one came from Koper Kherne. So we are all very diverse, correct? And we all meet in this one place, which is Renewed Hope Community, right? So a church is actually full of different cultures. Agreed? Yes? Yes. Socioeconomic background, and also we are all multilingual. Means somebody speaks Tamil, somebody speaks Malayalam, somebody speaks Hindi, somebody speaks Marathi. Okay? So that's why I was reminded of one thing that we follow in this church. Can somebody tell me? Because we are multilingual, OE. Okay, everybody say OE. OE means only English. Okay, that is because, see, suppose if I am from, say, I am a Maharashtrian, but the other person is from the south. So I will be very busy talking to one of my Maharashtrian friend. Oh, okay, this happened. But this person who's sitting next to me will be so lost. They will not be able to get into the conversation. Because we are part of this one big family, we need to include everybody into the conversation that we are having. Okay, so no secrets allowed. So the thing is that we are all part of this family. And therefore, because we are diverse, we practice this OE, okay, and only English. Because so that we understand each other, we accommodate the other person. Okay, so we appreciate each other. Oh, wow. So you can cook alu matar. I can cook chicken curry. Okay, so we appreciate each other's styles of cooking. Okay, and that is why on Fridays we have a potluck. Very good. So if you want to experience diversity in food, you need to come on Fridays. All right, and then we help each to find a common ground. For example, we have diversity even in our skills. For example, some may be good in worship, some may be good in clearing up. They are very particular about setting things in order. Okay, one thing will not move from here. There are people who are very good with follow-ups. They will call up, they will find out who they are. So diversity even in skills. We work together and we fellowship together. So, what is the definition? So, one definition of diversity is the inclusion, okay, of different types of people, such as people of different races or cultures in a group or organization. That is the definition of diversity. So, many times, today we do not have foreigners, but we do have people, we did have people from the US, from Nigeria, from different parts. Like there's this one girl who's from UAE, born and brought up in UAE. So different people from different land also. So when we accommodate them together, we become a diverse church. We become a different people. And when we come together, we are unique. We become a unique body. Okay. So have you all what all is there in a salad? Onion, cucumber, then carrot, okay, tomato, whatever you want to, broccoli you want to put other things like exotic stuff you can put. But some people plain like Indians, like us, we only put tomato and cucumber, right? Whatever it is, but we have a mixture of a lot of things. But when we eat it, how does it taste? Nice? Or do we say nay nay? Salad should be made only of onion or salad should be made only of tomato. No, when we come together, it's like a salad. Okay, it will be very flavorful when we bring up our ideas. So does that mean that we will not have conflicts? Well, because we are different, right? Our ideologies are different. Our way of thinking is different, diverse. Do you think conflicts will not happen? It will happen, but that's the beauty of diversity. When we have, differences of ideas, let me put it across in this way. It's called differences of ideas. Then we adapt to it and we probably brainstorm over it. We challenge it and we say, okay, let's try what he's saying or she's saying. Maybe that's how it works there. Or we can also try it out. So when we come together, it becomes a beautiful combination, a culture. It's like a salad. We come with all our differences, but when we come together, when we have it, it becomes flavorful, right? Yes, so even in the Bible, God used, in the span of history, God used various people to maybe lead people, to guide people. So anybody remembers who all did God use? Did God use only the priests? No. He used shepherds. Very good. So Amos was a shepherd. Okay. And Amos went ahead and said, this, God is going to do. Gideon, do you know who's Gideon? Who was Gideon before he became a warrior? Gideon is from the Old Testament. He was a farmer. So God used a farmer. Lydia, this we should know. Lydia, who was Lydia from the New Testament? She was a businesswoman, okay, working woman. So we feel, okay, only now we have working women, but in those days also we had. And God used Lydia's influence, that's what the Bible says, her wealth to proclaim the good news or to tell everybody about who Jesus was. Okay, then who is Timothy? His father? Any idea? Timothy's father was a Greek, mother was a Jew. So even then, we had mixed parents. We say, no, only now I have. My mother is a Punjabi, my father is a Sindhi. But it's not like that. Even then, we had all. But God used all of them in whatever background, whatever profession, whatever skills they had, God used them. And used them even today. We learn about them. Though we are from India, we are from Panvel, but still when we read from the Bible, we can connect to them, right? Because one thing that connects all of us together. What is that one thing that connects us, all of us together here? Yes, Jesus. Jesus connects us, all of us together. That is one nucleus. That is one common point, right? So, what does the Bible say? Can somebody read this loudly? Who can read? Very small. Okay, I'll read it. Yeah, you read it. Excellent, yes. So what does it say? Yesterday only we discussed in the worship also, and I was so surprised that this was there in the sermon also, that in a large house, which house? God's house. Okay, there are articles. Now, what are these articles? It is you and me. Okay, so some articles are of gold, some articles of silver. That doesn't mean God loves me more and God doesn't love you. Okay, it just means that we all have a different purpose in a house. So every time I see the speaker has a different purpose than a light. Correct? So now people have come up with those merged stuff where light will also become a speaker. That's a different thing altogether. So you have different things for different purposes. Suppose if the speaker says that I don't want to function, you are always looking at the light. So what will happen? There will be, you know, there will be no, I cannot speak so loudly. There will be maybe misunderstanding, miscommunication because the speaker is not working. You may not hear me clearly. So each article in the house, each one of us has a different purpose. Each one of us is different, functions differently, thinks differently and operates differently. And we all have to come together for one common purpose, and that is prepared to do any good work, not one good work, any good work. All right? So that is what the Bible says. Also, I would like to reiterate what Uncle had told last week about unity. Anyone who remembers this verse which he had mentioned? He says, just as a body, though one, has many parts. How many parts do we have in our body? Many parts. Okay, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. So, can we tell our neighbor, I am different, but I am part of God's body? Can we tell? Yes. Each one of us has a different function. Maybe you come with some experiences from your past, or maybe you come with so much knowledge. Maybe we do not have that much knowledge, how much you have. Or maybe you come with so much skills. Maybe you come with a different ideas each time. Maybe you come up with different creativity. So we all come with something and we contribute to the body of Christ. We are different, but we are together in Christ. Okay. So, the best example, okay, about diversity, okay. So when Jesus was on earth, He chose how many disciples? Are you sure 12 disciples? He chose only 12 disciples, okay. He chose only 12 disciples. Now, when we look at the background of these disciples, they are all coming from different backgrounds. So we will today, we will touch upon those disciples, because I think it was only in our Sunday school, or maybe it was just in our hearing that we just know, oh, there were 12 disciples. But we actually do not know how they were. They had what kind of experience they carried, or what kind of a upbringing they had. Correct. So we will look at these 12 disciples today in leisure. Okay. So number one comes Peter. Why do you think Peter comes number one? Every gospel, if in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, if you see, Peter's name comes first. Not because he was an excellent disciple, but he was a very passionate disciple. One of the passionate disciple of God. Everybody, tell your neighbor, Peter was passionate. Yes, so that we'll, by the end of the sermon, I think you all remember all the 12 disciples. Okay, so you could be that Peter in the church. Okay, what are the characteristics of Peter? Peter was, so he saw Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. See how he is called. He saw two brothers, okay? They were Simon, his other name was Peter. So Peter had how many names? One was Simon, that was a Greek name, and one was a Hebrew name, Peter. And both meant the rock, okay? The name of, the meaning of his name was the rock. And Andrew, his brother, they were putting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. So Peter's profession was? Do you think he needs to be the disciple of Jesus? He's a fisherman. Do you think he will understand anything that Jesus will say? Yes or no? If you go to the fish market and you will tell them, okay, you know the Messiah came, this, and you will give the whole, you know, jargon about the Bible, will that person understand that fisherman sitting on the road? No, right? So, but Peter and Andrew are one of them. So they were diverse, they were different, but Jesus chose them. Okay, so Andrew was very quiet. He was towards the quieter version. He was not like Peter. He was overshadowed by his brother Peter. But Andrew, but God knew Andrew also. Probably we are one of them. We are Andrew, or we could be Peter, who's very enthusiastic, very passionate, but we could also be like Andrew in the church, who are very quietly working and God is looking and watching us. There are two diverse people here, Peter and Andrew. But one thing common in them was Jesus said to them, follow me, I will make you fish for men. At once they left their nets and followed him. So what did they do both? Did they ask permission from their family? No, they said, oh, something is there. Brothers, no. So brothers are always into something. So siblings are always together that way. So Peter said, chalo, let's go. So Andrew said, oh, you have to answer daddy. Huh? So we will go, follow. So probably they had a conversation like that. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But they both followed Jesus immediately. They said, let's see what this man has to say. So going from there, Jesus saw two other brothers. They were James and John, the sons of Zebedee. So we will come to that. They were sitting in a boat with their father, mending their nets. Jesus called them at once. They left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. So here we see Peter and Andrew were who? Professionally? Fishermen. Everybody say loudly. Fishermen. Yes, Peter and Andrew. Fishermen. Okay, and Jesus chose them first. Peter and Andrew. Now James and John. Okay. Now, according to the description given about James and John, so I will summarize this later. We will just see which kind of people, okay, the disciples were. We will understand diversity in a more detailed manner through these disciples, because we can maybe connect maybe to Peter, to Andrew, to John, to James. We can say, oh, I am like this. My background was like this. My parents were like this. Okay, my brother is like this. He always overshadowed me. He never allowed me to do this. But what we understand is that God calls all of us. Though we are overshadowed or not overshadowed, whether we are enthusiastic, not enthusiastic, God looks at us and says, you are my precious disciple. You are diverse. You will work for me. You will follow me. All right? So Jesus went on a little farther. He saw James and his brother John, who were sons of Zebedee. Okay, actually, sons of Zebedee also means sons of thunder. So probably their father, who held a very prominent position, it also says in this verse, they were in a boat mending their nets. Jesus called them and they left their father Zebedee. He was in the boat with men who were working for him. That means they were owned. Okay, they were at a better position than who? Last slide, what did we see? Who were the two? Peter and Andrew. So they were, Peter and Andrew were fishermen, whereas James and John were owners. Okay, they were masters. They were having people under them who were fishing. So, how many of us own a business here? Some of us own a business. Some of us are employed. So there again, the diversity is there. We may be owners or we may be employed. Okay, but still God calls us and says, come, follow me. Okay, and they left their father in the boat and they, whereas in Peter and Andrew's case, father was there. No, they didn't even bother to inform the father. Here, the father was also there. Probably we are living with our family. Or maybe we are living in a hostel. We don't know. So it is like that. So maybe we are living with our family. Maybe we are married, not married. Peter was, by the way, married. Okay, according to the scripture, Jesus one day heals his mother-in-law. That is what the Bible says. That Peter's mother-in-law is very sick and Jesus goes and he will have a mother-in-law only if he's married, right? So the Bible says Peter was also married. All right. So we see that James and John were owners. Peter was a fisherman. All right. Philip and Nathanael. Okay. Can somebody read this loudly? True. So here, what do we see? Which kind of disciples were they? Philip, who is Philip? You say something to somebody, they say, ha ha ha, let's go and explore. Whereas Nathaniel, what did he say? Very critical. Nazareth, how many of us have critical friends or critical, you know, family members? Can anything good come from anywhere? Can this happen? Did you check with them? Did you go? Did you do? So God uses even those people who are critical, okay? And also people like Philip who are innocently believing, and he's... kya bolta hai ye? Like, you know, he's also telling Nathaniel, come. And Nathaniel is like very... But look at the approach that Jesus had towards each one of them. He said to Philip, follow me. Whereas for Nathaniel, what did Jesus have to do? Jesus had to tell a little more extra about him. He said, this is a true Jew. My goodness, somebody praises me, I will feel very good. Wow, he's calling me a true Jew. He understands me. Come, definitely there's something in this man. And then Jesus also says, I saw him under the tree. So he says, how did he see me under the tree? I experienced this person. So maybe we are people of experiences. We are people which we will not simply follow just because somebody said. We want evidence. That is also diversity. But finally, Jesus, you are in Jesus' team. Okay. So you can say that I am critical, but I am in Jesus' team. Can you tell? But I am in Jesus' team. Yes. So we are diverse. We are different. We may need explanation. We need challenges. We may not all be like Philip or like the fishermen. Okay. But we... And also if you see, it also said here, Philip was from the town of Bethsaida. Andrew and Peter were also from this town. Okay. But they didn't know each other because they were not fishermen. Definitely. That's why. So they were not fishermen. They were from some other nation probably. So they were doing their own thing. So here we see that God, Jesus not only chose fishermen, but other people from different communities, different castes or different backgrounds. All right. Now, next. James, the son of Alphaeus. Because there is one more James, right? We spoke about John and James. They were brothers. There's one more. So even if you have a common name, doesn't matter. Even if there are a lot of Toms, lot of Pintos, or lot of whatever, but God still knows you personally. And we all have a different characteristics. So in the researchers, they also say that if twins are born, no, twins, even their fingerprints are different. They are diverse. They are two different people. Okay. So what if the name is the same? Jesus gave Simon another name, Peter. James and John were brothers. They were the sons of Zebedee. He named the Boanerges, which means the sons of thunder. The others were Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot. Judas was the one who handed Jesus over to be killed. Now, you know what? The surprising fact is that there is no mention of James, the son of Alphaeus, in the New Testament. Isn't it surprising? Nobody knows how he was called. Nobody knows who he was. They're just assuming that probably because he's Alphaeus, he must be from this town, this must be... like that. So there is a lot of research that has happened, but there is no kind of any written explanation as to how Jesus called. But when we see these 12 disciples, we see his name coming up. Probably we don't have an what do you say? Some people say, no, extraordinary experience. I saw the heavens open and then I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. But we may not even have that experience. We may just have a small testimony, or maybe Jesus just came and touched our hearts and we felt, yes, maybe this is the truth. Maybe that was the story of James, the son of Alphaeus. We don't know. So he still wanted to be in Jesus' team. Okay, so he was different. Jesus had a different approach towards him and he was in Jesus's team. So abhi tak kitna hua hamara hum? First was the famous Peter and Andrew. Then James and John, not James the son of Alphaeus, okay? James and John. Then Philip and Nathaniel. Very good. Now we have James the Alphaeus. Okay. Now, quickly to the next. Judas Iscariot. Who doesn't know him? Can you raise your hand? Who doesn't know him? Okay, I'll tell you who it is. He is the one who crucified Jesus. Like, who sold Jesus. For how much money, you know? 30 silver coins. He was the one who was a betrayer. And he was still in Jesus' team. So, times when we feel betrayed by one of them, but then Jesus still loves them, right? Jesus knew and he called. And we also do not know here that how did Judas start following Jesus. Maybe he saw, okay, but Jesus chose. So, what happened was, when Jesus went to the mountain, he prayed, okay? He said, God, he had his own prayer time and he then came down and he chose his 12 disciples. It was not like randomly, okay, you come, nothing like that. He chose because God told him to choose them, not because he in his own way wanted to choose. Okay, so Judas was one of them whom God had decided that he will be part of this team. Okay, so there will be times when we will have us or who will have different ways and means of doing things. But still, who has chosen them? God has chosen them. We cannot say that, oh, okay, not a part of this community. They are a part of this community. We accept them. And then over the period of time, they learn, they grow, and then things become different for them. Jesus called his 12 followers to him. He gave them power to put out demons, to heal all kinds of sickness and disease. These are the names of the 12 followers. Again, the same people. So Jesus gave power to even Judas Iscariot to heal and to... So he didn't say, you are going to cheat me. You are going to betray me. You deceiver. He didn't say that. He said, okay. He is also part of the team. So, we need to accept each other the way they are. No matter who they are. But definitely, we need to keep a check. Jesus knew. It's not like how Judas was given the... You know, he was also the treasurer, by the way. So, he handled money. Jesus also knew that he is stealing money from the whatever accounts they had. Jesus knew all this. But still... He said, okay, you will be still part of it. So it's not like, I'm unaware of what's happening. I don't know who is in my team. But I know that this person needs a watch. This person needs to grow. So we keep a watch over each other. Okay, we are diverse, but we also need to keep a watch over each other. Okay, there is one more person. His name was Judas again. So just to make it simpler, he is mentioned as Jude or Thaddeus. Okay, again, he's not a very, you know, he didn't have an extravagant, encounter with Jesus. We don't know how he met Jesus, but we see his name appearing in the list of the disciples. Alright, so finally, we know of one person, Matthew. Who was Matthew? We know many stories of Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector, okay? And in those days, tax collectors were seen not a very great job. They were seen as cheaters because they would take the money from the people, extra money. How many of us like to have people who will take extra money from us? Nobody, no? But Jesus said, Matthew, come, follow me. Okay, so how did Jesus choose Matthew? Can somebody read this? Correct. So if you see Matthew's lifestyle, how do you think his lifestyle is? Very serious guy. Partying, chilling, okay, with his friends. He has a lot of money, right? So there might be people in our community who out. So that is why we have retreats, we have sports, okay? Because we need to include those people also, right? And some people like to eat food, some people, so we cater to their needs, right? So Jesus also went. He said, chalo, we'll go, we'll party. And yeah, definitely there were other people who were saying, how can this guy eat with somebody who's cheating on people? He's a tax collector, he doesn't know what. That was a different story. But what did Jesus do? Went to Matthew's house. Okay, so we need to also include such people in our community. We can't judge them and say he's always partying, he's always out with his friends. But imagine Matthew got so many friends to meet with Jesus. How many friends are we meeting? How are we encountering people? Hey, this is my friend from RHC. Or they feel, oh, no, I can't make him, like, you know, I can't allow him to meet my friends. What will he think? So Matthew didn't have that. Matthew was a very relaxed, chilled person, okay? So we should also have that. Okay. We have Simon the Zealot again. They say that why his name in particularly, they have mentioned that as a Zealot was, again, there is nothing particular about this guy that Jesus calls, but they say Zealot because those people were very fierce people. They wanted to fight and they wanted to conquer the land from the Roman Empire. So that is why Simon. So imagine how forceful this Simon Zealot was. So there might be people in our community also who are very activist. You know, no, we need to fight for this. We need to get this so-and-so people. This has to be legalized. This has to challenge us, right? So we need to also accept them. So imagine what a dynamic group of people Jesus had. And teaching them something very common. Like, you know, this is God and this is how everything happened. Imagine how it would have been. Probably Simon the Zealot might have challenged him also. Oh, how can you bring peace? I want to fight. I want to get the, you know, get my empire. Correct? No. There might be people. But Jesus calmed them down and said, no, we are not here to fight anybody. We are here to bring everybody to know God. Thomas, this is another famous person. What did he do? He always doubted. Until unless he didn't see the or the reality, he will say, I will not believe. So you have to show me. Okay, for example, our son, no, in the night, he will say that I want scratch guard. Like you have GPay, you know, in GPay you have scratch guard. He wants to do that. And if we say, no, we don't have it. Show me that you don't have it. So there are people who want to see it. Nay, you show me. What is it? I don't trust you till I see it. Correct. So Thomas was like this. Imagine every time Jesus said, yes, Adam and Eve were there, he would say, show me, prove it to me that Adam and Eve were there. How do you know it? How do you know the Ten Commandments happened? So every time, maybe Jesus had to use dynamic ways of teaching them. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know. What did he say? We don't know where you're going. Are, how will we know? How can we know the way? Very clear-cut guy, okay, very realistic. I don't know where you're going. You're talking to me in philosophy, but I'm a math student. I need logic. I need scientific explanation to this. Okay, so there might be people in our church in our community who are like Thomas. But one thing in common is that all these 12 disciples gave up their life. They understood the crux of the message of the Messiah. They understood what it is to have the salvation. They understood that the gospel is about the eternity. It is about God coming back to us, because we were separated because of our sin. And they understood that, and they wanted. So finally, all the 12 disciples died martyrs. Okay, though they were from different culture, they were diverse people. They were in that one team where Jesus taught them dynamically. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross. Bartholomew or Nathaniel, he was flayed with knives. Like, you know, he was put there and knives are thrown at him. James, he said he was the first apostle who was killed. And then James and John, and then the other James, Alphaeus, he was sawn in pieces. Means he was cut into pieces. John died of natural causes, because John was the one, Jesus says, this is the disciple whom I love. So they believe that John did not, but he was kept in Patmos for a very long time. He was put in a burning oil, but he did not die. He came out alive. So that's why he died a natural death. Judas Iscariot, we all know, he hanged himself because he was feeling very guilty of what he did. He deceived Jesus. Or Thaddeus, killed with arrows. Matthew or Levi, he was martyred in Ethiopia. Peter, crucified upside down on a cross, because Peter said, I do not stand dignified to die like Jesus. So he was crucified upside down. Philip died by hanging. Simon the Zealot died a martyr's death. Thomas, killed with a spear in India. Okay, when Thomas was in India, he was killed with spear. So, who is Peter amongst us? Can we relate to Peter? Who is a Thomas amongst us? We are diverse, we are different, but we are in one team, we are in God's team. We all have one aim and one goal. That is to proclaim the good news, to tell people that there is a good God who loves you, who has an eternal life for you. He said, I am going to prepare a home for you. You are not homeless. You are not without a family. You are not depressed. You are not anxious. You have hope. Who will go and tell? We, the modern day Peter. We, the modern day Thomas. We, the modern day Nathanael and Philip. We value diversity in relationships. Though we are different, we value relationships. We welcome people from all strata, nationalities, languages, personalities. Like how we said, no, some are very impulsive, some are very aggressive, some are very soft. We cherish differences and diversities, as it brings a unique flavor in togetherness. The flavor is about being diverse, inclusion of each other, no matter who they are. We enjoy each other's uniqueness, and it's like this picture. When we come together, it makes into the bigger picture. So we need to see God's bigger picture. We can't keep, disunity amongst each other. Okay? So each one fits in. So everybody say, each one fits in. Yes, so each one fits in RHC. No matter which shape you are, which part of the puzzle you are, you fit in. Yes, we fit in somewhere or in some way. No matter who we are, our name is mentioned, as in Peter or Nathaniel or Philip, or it is not mentioned, like Jude, Thaddeus. Okay, we are one because of the cross. Okay, Jesus did not say that, okay, you are soft-spoken, so I won't die for you. Or you are very loud, I will die for you. But he said, we fit in because of him, because of his cross, because of the atonement, like, you know, he did. He sacrificed. We are one. No matter how diverse we are one through the across. So can we tell our neighbor that, you know, we are one in God's cross? Yes. So that is what diversity is. Though we are diverse, just like we started off, no, in the beginning, that we are from different hometown, we are different cultures, background, but we are one through Him. We are one because of Him. We fit in because of Jesus. Okay, so we may be Peter, we may be Matthew, we may be outgoing, we may be indoors, we may be married, we may be single, we may be tall, we may be short, we may be any color, we may be good in English, we may not be good in English, but we all fit in. We all fit in God's kingdom. And we all have a purpose. We all have a plan. And God has given us that purpose and plan. Yes, so just like the disciples, we are one team, we have one aim, we have one goal to accomplish. We have one vision. And the vision is to renew the city with a renewed hope. Yes, amen.